Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show. Thank you for joining, folks. Another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
New intro.
Tried that
new
one out.
New intro, yeah.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
We'll see if it sticks, but, you know, Quint gave me a hard time on the last episode for doing the same intro as him, so I had to try something a little bit different. But
I heard him giving you a hard time. I didn't realize that I thought that was like a DIY brand thing.
Oh, apparently not. That's a Quint thing, apparently, now that we know that. Okay, he's in the room and can hear us. But, Allie, what are you doing this summer for fun as far as, do you have anything outside of the financial world that you're DIYing, that you're doing yourself?
Doing
you are
myself.
Not prepared, I know, at all
what?
For this question. So I'll go first,
yes,
until,
you
and
go.
Then you can
and then
you can jump
yours.
In here. Yeah. So my this is not necessarily something that I'm doing, but my wife is trying to become a plant mom.
And oh boy!
Yeah. So she's like, this is like a new hobby that she does every month after her big exam comes. She wants to have 3 days where she wants to become a plant mom. So now we have like a shelf, two shelves in our house that have plants on them. And we're trying to grow herbs. So we don't live in a place where we could have like a garden outside. We're renting still. But we're trying to grow herbs and then onions, green onions, because we use them all the time. So we use green onions all the time and we use herbs like for everything that I cook. So it's not going well, though, at all.
It never does.
It is just not. And, like, our herbs are not growing. And I mean, people out there that are listening to this episode that have plant experience, call in with a question and give me a little plant advice, because we're just
a little plant love.
You know, we got like a little $10, and this is probably our first mistake. We got like a little $10 thing that was like an herb box to start out kind of thing. And we've started using that. And we followed the instructions, but yeah, that's not doing
when
anything.
You say they're not growing, do you mean they've like never broken the soil yet?
Bingo.
Or you got
no, this
them
is only this is only
and
like
they're
a
like
month
brown and moldy or something?
No, this is only okay. Like a month along, but they've just never come out of the soil.
I don't know a lot about herbs. Well, I really don't know that much about plants either, but is there like a specific season where they're supposed to break the ground?
Well, it's growing inside, so like they're not outside,
okay.
So I don't know.
And they're
I'm not
like
100%
year
sure. I probably need to learn more about this. I think so. I think you can grow.
Quint is the person herbs to ask about the food.
Yeah, Quint's good at growing. He has a big old garden. But and I will say, though, green onions, we took like green onion stems from green onions from the store. Mm-hmm. We put those into water and we're like getting them started. That's pretty crazy because now they are like 5 inches long and they have the green part coming out of them. It's pretty awesome.
What?
And that's only been like a week. So green onions, those are working. We're going to see how those go over time. Now, what about you, A. Howard? What is your DIY money,
oh,
not money,
my
thing that you're working on right now?
Well, the plant thing. So I, in college, killed a succulent.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm that bad.
You don't even have to
exactly
look at them.
I think, well, here's the problem. I think I forgot for too long, and then I cared too much. So it got, like, both extremes that are terrible.
You went
so
through
like,
your waves of now.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be, you're kind of like my wife. You're like, now I'm going to be the plant mom, but I have not looked at my plants in a
exactly
month. So,
like,
okay.
In that situation, I killed, like, I think it was mostly dead because I forgot that it was there. I just had it, like, on the windowsill. And I
with
never
succulents,
saw
succulents, you just have to look at it and think about water. And
yeah. Well, I didn't even think about it for months. And then I think I got too, like, freaked out. I was like, oh, my gosh, my plant. It's dying. So then I gave it so much water. And I think I, like, drowned it.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It was a disaster. But when I moved into my first apartment, I was like, okay, I love having plants around. I just need to, like, remember. So I set, like, a reminder on my phone to water it. So that way it would come up.
Very nice.
And I kept that thing alive. It's still alive, knock on wood, for now. And so then just recently when I moved into my next apartment, I got like 12 more plants. Because that's what you do. You either have one or you have 1,000.
Yeah. My wife now, every time we go to the store, we're like going to Walmart to get groceries or whatever. And she's like, well, let's stop at Lowe's and let's see if they have any cool plants. I'm like,
and they always, well, they have the sales.
What do we need plants for? Yeah, but they're
like $2. So you're like, well, what's $2? What's it going to hurt?
Yeah, no.
I don't know that I'm doing anything, DIYing anything right now. I'm just outside DIYing fitness. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you're doing...
I've kind of started running. I try not to talk about it too much around Quint because he's like, sign up for a half! Let's go! Yeah,
I know.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to commit that hard. But I enjoy running, and I'd like to be more in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that counts as DIY.
Sure.
That's my new project.
DIY fitness. There you go. I like
it.
Okay, great. We're going to go on to some housekeeping odds and ends. Sponsored this episode, all episodes, by Jewel Financial. We have a wealth development program where we work with folks all across the country. But even if you're not in the wealth development phase, we have our typical clientele that is getting closer to retirement, and they need help kind of evaluating what their situation is and then making a game plan moving forward. So we do intensive financial planning along with investment advising. So it's good. Send your questions in podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. You do an audio question that you record and send in to, again, podcast@diymoney.org. If we use it on the show, you get a $25 Amazon gift card. And I know we're sparse right now on the DIY Money Juniors, so would love to get some more of those in. You normally get bumped right up to the top whenever you send in those DIY Junior questions.
Bring them on.
Good. The other thing that we have is the social medias. DIY Money Podcast, you can see on all the social media platforms. So check us out on there. We're posting a lot of good content, not just necessarily what we're doing on the podcast, but a lot of information about what our thoughts are on the markets and different things like that. So it's a good thing to check out. Okay, let's get to our question. We have a good one today from Bill. Bill, what do you got?
DIY!
Hey, DIY Money guys, it's Bill from Pittsburgh. I've been listening to your show for about a year and a half now. Enjoy the content. Please keep it up. My wife and I are in our mid-50s, and we're thinking about retiring in a year or so. Just had a question. Our portfolio is about $2.5 million, and that's a combination of both traditional and Roth, 401ks, IRAs, and then some after-tax investments. In addition to that, we'll also get pensions. So my question is, we have a financial advisor, but is there some level where you think we should also have a tax advisor or an accountant? We don't own a business, so I don't think them to be very complicated portfolio structures, but I just didn't want to be complacent and not be doing the right thing. And then again, I don't want to do it just because our best friends are doing it. Appreciate your comments and feedback. Thank you.
All right, Bill, great question. This really comes to something we see all the time in this business between you have an investment guy, you have a CPA that's working on the accounting side, you have a financial planner. I mean, there's so many different titles and different people, and who you should work with is always a very important question. And I'll say this. I mean, there are great people in all of these businesses, just like there's people that are maybe not so great in these businesses and don't fit your specific situation. So I think the first thing is making sure that whoever you find to work with, if you're looking for a partner, if you're looking for someone to come alongside with, that they help with your particular situation and that they kind of meet your needs. But I will first kind of swing it over to you, Allie, and tell me more about the differences, because you've been in both fields, the differences between maybe a tax accounting person, a tax advisor, and financial planning type thing.
Yeah, that's a good place to start, because I think a lot of people use those three terms. So advisor, planner, and accountant. Maybe not as much accountant advisor, but they typically use those kind of interchangeably. But there are distinct functions that each one looks at and does more than the others.
Okay.
So for example, like an accountant, when I think about like a standard accountant or tax accountant, typically what they're looking at in your financial situation is really specific to this year. So they're looking at, what should your salary be based on how your business is structured? They're looking at the bookkeeping side of things. Does it make sense to take distribution? Do you need to put more cash into the business? And then doing a lot of the bookkeeping a lot of times surrounding that to keep everything in order and keep track of what your basis is in the business. that kind of approach.
Okay.
However, what they don't look at, which I'm realized while I was in the field, but somewhat realized a little bit more as I see us look more specifically at that, is they have like this year's taxes. They have the prior year's taxes. A lot of times they don't have knowledge of what accounts are held outside of the business that you might have, or outside of W-2 income. What other income do you have that may not be on your tax return, or what's on the horizon? So when we're looking at a financial planner, I think the key distinction from my understanding, or at least in how we operate, is as a planner, I'm looking at the 50,000 foot view of your entire financial plan. So what does income look like right now where you're on salary? But then what does retirement look like? Do you have a huge taxable investment account that needs to be tax managed? Do you have sizable IRAs or 401ks where we need to time distributions? Do you have other income sources? Are you expecting a huge inheritance? Things like that, along with your goals. So maybe you want to move to Florida in retirement. How does that change your tax situation? Or you want to purchase a new home, whatever it might be. So we take kind of your goals and what we see on the horizon to figure out what makes sense for taxes. So ultimately, what ends up happening is, at least in my experience, your tax accountant is focused on how can I save you in money and taxes this year, which is a great perspective to have. We never want to give the government extra money. If there are other things we should be writing off, then absolutely a tax accountant is super helpful in looking at that and figuring that out. But then your financial planner should be looking at, okay, yes, we should be saving on tax now, but does it make more sense to actually pay a little bit more in tax this year to avoid having that stack on top or kicking that liability down the road for retirement?
Yeah.
So that's what we see a lot of times in, okay, yes, this year it makes no sense to pay 22% tax bracket when I could be in the 10% tax bracket. But what could happen is if we don't do that, you may be in the 28% bracket later on for the rest of your life.
It's evaluating on a holistic, right?
Right.
You're looking at the whole view of an entire plan. But I will say, I mean, for Bill or for anybody that is looking, and we work in a field of financial advisors and financial planners. So myself, Daniel, Quint, Allie very, very soon is going to be a registered investment advisor. So we have investment advisors in our title, but we also have financial planners. So Daniel's a CFP. I'm working on my CFP.
Very soon.
You'll eventually be a CFP too, Allie. And we focus on the plan. Actually, before we make investment advice on someone, we like to do a plan so we understand the whole picture before we just invest assets, before we just invest money. So that's very, very important. I think, too, Bill, we get a question all the time: when is the right time to talk to an advisor, or when is the right time to bring in an accountant? And you said something that's very important is, hey, I don't think I really have that complex of a situation. Like I have a pretty straightforward situation on the accounting side. And when that happens, you might not need a tax accountant to come alongside you. You might not have to have that person come in there if you feel comfortable and confident filling out your TurboTax or going through the process of doing something like that where you're doing it on your own. I mean, that's why we created this podcast, was to help people do things yourself.
Do you like to do it yourself?
So if you are able to, in your situation, not have an accountant, that's perfectly fine. You can go about doing that. Sometimes we find in a situation where someone has a significant amount of complexity on their financial side that we like to bring in the accountant and work with them to make sure everybody's on the same page. So we're communicating as the financial advisor, financial planner with the accountant to say, hey, this is the strategy we're seeing. We want to do Roth conversion this year. We want to make sure that gets filed correctly. So we're going to make sure you're in the loop and explain to you, the accountant, why we're doing what we're doing. Now, you could file your taxes and you could claim that you're doing a Roth conversion in a year. That's perfectly possible, but we would do the same thing. Make sure you're understanding how you're filing your taxes and how you're putting that information into your tax filing, because obviously no one wants to have tax fraud or do something incorrectly on their tax return. So it really comes down to complexity and what level you really need to bring someone in. You mentioned business owners. I mean, we see if someone owns a business, more than likely they're going to need a tax professional to come alongside them and help with all of these different things. If you're someone that has significant assets and you're trying to plan for retirement and you're trying to plan for some complex tax strategies that you need a financial planner to be involved in, then you probably need to touch base with a financial planner and bring someone alongside you to help with all these different strategies and with those different conversations that go. So the complexity needs, I tell people, you'll know when it happens. Like, you'll know when you need someone to come alongside you. Mm-hmm. You'll know when you need someone to come alongside you in the financial planning, financial advising space, and you'll know when you need someone to come alongside you in the accounting space. And if not, talk with people, have advisors close to you that can help you decide those different factors. What else do you say, Allie?
Yeah, I think that's good. Like you said, there's not going to be an income threshold. It's not like as soon as you hit a million, you need someone any more than you do when you have 10 grand in the bank. It comes down to the complexity. The other thing I'll say is a good advisor, and I use that term pretty loosely because we just talked about the differences. A good financial coach or quarterback, I guess you could say, is someone who maybe isn't trying to do every aspect of this. So I think there's a tendency to try to find like a one-man band that can prepare your tax return and do your financial planning and advise on your investments and make trades for you. Sometimes it's helpful, and I think here we take a team approach, because if you ask me to allocate your 401k, then I'm probably not going to know all of the specific funds as well as you will, Logan. On the tax side, there might be a tax situation that you come in my office and be like, all right, Allie, what's going on here? And it takes a village. And so I think to find someone to be your financial quarterback is really important, not just someone who's putting you in mutual funds or trading individual stocks for you and calling it a day, not just finding a good accountant and calling it a day, but finding one person who can be that quarterback and say, okay, one thing we need to look at is your estate plan. So here's a reference for a really good attorney. And I think it would be helpful to get that in order. And then let me see it when you're done. Let's also look at maybe insurance. Here's a good referral for someone who does insurance, someone who does Medicare, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And that way it's more of a team where if you have one person, everyone's going to have their weak spots, and building that out over time is super important.
Yeah. And it's okay to find someone else, like to try to meet with an advisor. You meet with them, you've gone down that road. Maybe you've been with them for a while and it's not working out. It's okay to make a change too. We tell people all the time in our office, you know, if you feel like you're not finding value, now, this does not happen very often at all, but if you're feeling like you're not finding value, then you can go find someone else, and you can move on to a different person that you feel like brings value to you and brings value to your situation.
Billy. Billy. This is a biggie.
Bill, I hope that helped answer your question and give you a little bit of insight to what we look at when we're evaluating who to work with and what advisors in our personal life, as well as when we're helping clients do that same thing. So the secret to wealth is really quite simple. Live on less than you make, invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.